Good morning and welcome to Shattering Myths. I am your host and tour guide, Yada. Each weekday morning here on GCN, I strive to expose the beguiling and destructive myths which are associated with every religion, with political schemes, with patriotism in the media, and with military and economic endeavors. If you'll listen, your eyes may be opened, and you may ultimately change your mind towards some of these human institutions. Instead of merely presenting the news, my mission this morning and every morning is to help you understand what is occurring behind the headlines, all while predicting how these events will shape our world over the next 20 years. Then, during our second hour, we're going to engage Yahweh on his terms by way of his one and only covenant and through his always dependable Torah teaching, so that with his guidance you will be able to replace your religion with reason and engage in a relationship with him. At the end of our program, the first hour yesterday, we were speaking about an article that was written by the chief exorcist of the Vatican. Okay, the chief exorcist of the Vatican. He's the guy that's responsible for driving Satan out of individuals. He's held this post for 25 years, so this is not a come-lately guy. That he is, nor is he a low-ranking cleric in the Roman Catholic Church. He is the chief exorcist of the Vatican. He's had the post for 25 years. He was quoted as saying that the devil is at work inside the Vatican. He could have, by the way, made that statement just by reading Yahusha's revelation account to Yahochanan, where he Yahusha tells Yahochanan that the Roman Catholic Church will be the seat of Satan. He uses references to the universal religion, which became known as Roman Catholicism, to say in the first episode, the beginning of Roman Catholicism, that it would serve to be the seat of Satan, that it would grow to be married to Jezebel, which means married to the Lord. The Lord is Satan. So being married to Jezebel is being allied with the whore of Babylon, and that it would ultimately be dead. So those are the three kind of timelines for the 1500-year influence of Roman Catholicism from God's perspective. But from the chief exorcist perspective, he says the devil is at work within the Vatican. That is a quote, as is this: when one speaks of the smoke of Satan in the holy rooms, it's all true, including these latest stories of violence and of pedophilia, end quote. So he is the chief exorcist of the Vatican is not only saying that all of the rumors and stories regarding violence and pedophilia in the Roman Catholic Church being perpetrated by the Roman Catholic Church are not only true, but it's Satan's influence on Catholics, on the hierarchy in the Catholic Church, that is causing them these things to happen. And so this can be taken as a confirmation that something horrible indeed has been going on inside of the Roman Catholic Church. But there is also evidence outside of this man's testimony that the Roman Catholic Church has aided and abetted violence and pedophilia, and also that its current pope is knee-deep in trying to cover up the church's participation in priestly pedophilia. And by covering it up, he has enabled priestly pedophiles to continue to victimize children. This, of course, falls at the footsteps of one Joseph Ratzinger. Before the Roman Catholic Church decided to make Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger its pontiff, he was the orchestrator of the movement within the church to obstruct justice on a global scale on behalf of those who had been abused by the church. After his promotion to cardinal, he was put in charge of what's called the Congregation for Doctrine and Faith. That aspect of Roman Catholicism, which is its enforcement arm, was formerly called the Inquisition. In 2001, Pope John Paul II placed this department in charge of the investigation of child rape and torture by Catholic priests. In May of that year, Ratzinger issued a confidential letter to every bishop. I have read that letter. The letter is long. I was considering doing a program on the totality of what is said in that letter, but it is written like Paul wrote his letters, such that it uses doublespeak throughout. And it is such a burden to follow what he is saying. But the conclusion that one draws from his letter is that Ratzinger urged, demanded of all Catholics that were ordained that they prioritize first and foremost secrecy, that they cover up acts of priestly pedophilia, that they deny them, that they provide the media and law enforcement no access to the pedophile priests and no access to those who were victimized, and that they deny everything, that all investigations of pedophilia be conducted in secret, and any disclosure regarding priestly pedophilia in the Roman Catholic Church would result in the excommunication, not of the pedophile, but of the priest who divulged the abuse of children. That is the only conclusion that can be drawn from Ratzinger's letter.
That seems completely backwards and wrong.
It is exactly what he wrote, but it is, in fact, what he wrote was completely, the Catholic position on priestly pedophilia is completely backwards and wrong. Rather than acknowledging that priests were committing acts that were illegal in every country that they were being committed, and rather than turning the priests over to the judicial system in all of these countries, rather than wrapping their arms around the victim of pedophilia and of priestly abuse and telling them that we are sorry that this has happened and we are going to go after the pedophiles, they protected the pedophiles, and they made fools of those who were victimized, all to protect the image of Roman Catholicism.
And how do people let that stand? I mean, even if you're a Roman Catholic, how would you stand for that?
You know what I've said it many times. Knowing the scale of the abuse of Roman Catholic priests, where there were thousands of victims in the Los Angeles diocese here in Los Angeles, where the victims have won multi-million dollar lawsuits against the Roman Catholic Church. The same thing occurred in the Boston diocese. The same thing has occurred throughout the Midwest in America. In Northern Ireland, the government led an investigation that found out that 30,000 young boys and girls were sexually abused by the Roman Catholic Church. Thousands have proven their case against the Roman Catholic Church throughout almost every European country. Now the biggest scandal is in Australia, where once again thousands of young boys and girls have proven that they were abused by Roman Catholic clerics who were protected by Ratzinger's letter, his instruction to deny that this was happening and to keep it secret so that enabled the pedophiles to continue to abuse children. Now, in that context, considering how widespread this abuse has been, that it goes through all of the world. In fact, the worst case is probably in Mexico, where Marcial was the leading financial contributor to the Vatican. And where he was the leading supplier of young priests to the Vatican, where it has been proven that he also sexually abused seminarians and that young boys, and that he also abused drugs and was amongst the worst of these violators. Someone that Pope John Paul II personally embraced and supported, knowing full well that he was a drug-abusing sexual pervert because he supplied so many recruits and so much money to the Roman Catholic Church. Now, knowing these facts, and no one is denying the facts, knowing these facts, why is anyone a member of the Roman Catholic Church? Why does anyone attend? Why would any parent send their son or daughter to a Roman Catholic event? It is so disgustingly irresponsible. You have to be either completely ignorant, completely irrational, or totally immoral to be a member of the Roman Catholic Church. Now, I don't say that just because of the issues of priestly pedophilia and the fact that there are hundreds of thousands of victims the world over, that the church is rotten to the core. I say this also because if you were thoughtful and you compared any of the church's teaching to God's actual testimony, you would find that the church is wrong almost 100% of the time. I mean, their holiest days on their calendar are pagan, Easter and Christmas. They have no association of any kind with the scriptural account. You'll find that their day of worship is wrong, not only in that God doesn't want to be worshipped, but the seventh day is what God etched in stone, and they're calling people to worship a manifestation of the sun on Sunday. Everything that they promote, including it is a crime in the Roman Catholic Church to even say Yahweh's name. There's an edict, a papal edict against it. They not only don't advance or acknowledge any of the 7 days that God encouraged us to meet with Him, they are vehemently opposed to all of them. And they've come up with their own counterfeits, their own replacements for each of them. If you were a Roman Catholic, you are looked at by God as an abomination. If you are simply a victim of the church, He doesn't know you. If you are a promoter of the church, you are His enemy. It is easily the most evil institution in human history. If you are a Roman Catholic, you are either ignorant, you are irrational, or you are immoral. You ought not be part of that organization. Now let's return to this story. It reads that in May of the year that he was appointed, Ratzinger issued a confidential letter to every bishop. In it, he reminded them of the extreme gravity of a certain crime. But that crime was not the reporting of rape and torture, was not in the perpetration of rape and torture, but in the reporting of it. And that is the letter that he disseminated to all of the hierarchy of the Roman Catholic Church. I am Yada. This is Shattering Myth. We'll be back in a moment.
Making.
According to Ratzinger, the cardinal who was enthroned as Pope in the Roman Catholic Church, the avalanche of accusations of priestly pedophilia, many of which have subsequently been proven, in fact, virtually all of them have been proven, according to Ratzinger, were only treatable within the Church's own exclusive jurisdiction. So the illness that caused priests to perpetrate more acts of pedophilia, the worst crime that can be perpetrated, I think, in our world, the very church that created this environment where the Roman Catholic Church became the most grotesque institution in terms of the perpetration of pedophilia, was now intoned as the institution that would deal with it. The only place where there would be jurisdiction for these cases to determine who was telling the truth, the perpetrator or the victim. Any sharing of evidence with legal authorities or the press was strictly and utterly prohibited by Cardinal Ratzinger's, now Pope Benedict's, letter. Charges were to be investigated in the most, and I'm going to quote here, in the most secretive way, restrained by a perpetual silence, and everyone is to observe the strictest secret, which is commonly regarded as the secret of the Holy Office, under the penalty of excommunication, end quote. So, Those who would be punished by the Roman Catholic Church with excommunication would be those who revealed that priests were abusing children. It wasn't the perpetrators of pedophilia. No, they would be coddled. They would be protected. It was only those who disclosed the reality that children were continually being abused by Catholic priests. No one has been excommunicated for the rape and torture of children, but exposing the office could get you into and would get you into serious trouble. And this is the church that warns us against moral relativism. Not content with shielding its own priests from the law, Ratzinger's office even wrote its own private statute of limitations. The church's jurisdiction, claimed Ratzinger, this is a quote, begins to run from the day when the minor has completed the 18th year of age, end quote, and lasts for 10 years more. Daniel Shea, who's the attorney for two victims who sued Ratzinger in a church in Texas, correctly describes that later stipulation as an obstruction of justice. Quote, this is from Daniel Shea. You can't investigate a case if you never find out about it. If you can manage to keep it secret for 18 plus years, the priest will get away with it. End quote. And that was the intent. The next item on this grisly docket will be the revival of the long-standing allegations against the Reverend Marcial Marcial. I spoke of him in the previous segment. He was the founder of the Legion of Christ, in which sexual assault seems to have been almost part of the liturgy. Senior ex-members of this secret order found their complaints ignored and overridden by Ratzinger during the 1990s, if only because Father Marcial had been praised by then-Pope John Paul II as an officious guide to youth. This was a man who was sexually assaulting youth. And now, behold the evidence of this long campaign of obfuscation. The Roman Catholic Church is headed by a mediocre Bavarian bureaucrat once tasked with the concealment of the foulest of inquiries, whose ineptitude in that job now shows him to us as a man personally and professionally responsible for enabling a filthy wave of crime to continue unabated. Ratzinger himself may be banal, but his whole career has the stench of evil, a clinging and systematic evil that is beyond the power of exorcism to dispel. What is needed is not for medieval incantation, but for the application of justice, and speedy justice at that. The world needs to put Joseph Ratzinger, Pope Benedict, on trial. And if he is put on trial, he will be convicted as an accomplice to the rape and sodomy of thousands of young children the world over. When we return to Shattering Myths after the break, we're going to turn our attention to the place that is now foremost in the world in terms of the investigation of the abuse of Roman Catholics against children. They're assault against children, and that's going to be Sydney, Australia. The story that they have to tell is one that will break your heart. I am Yada. This is Shattering Myths.
Are you...
Back to Shattering Myths. I am your host, Yada. We're speaking about the propensity for the Roman Catholic Church to abuse children. The most recent stories in terms of mass accounts of child abuse by Roman Catholics flows out of Australia. This article, posted by CNN, reads as follows. In Ireland, it took years to weed out the details of systematic sexual abuse of children by Catholic clergy. Let me explain that a bit. There were several starts and stops in Northern Ireland, which is predominantly Roman Catholic, to investigate the Roman Catholic Church. It was unwilling to investigate itself because of of Cardinal Ratzinger's vow to silence to cover up these crimes. But politically, it became impossible to ignore because it was now thousands, in fact, tens of thousands of young people who were screaming out to their government that this Roman Catholic Church in Northern Ireland had abused them as children. And so the government itself conducted an investigation and proved that many, many tens of thousands of children in this small little slice of the world in Northern Ireland had been abused by Roman Catholic characters, both men and women, over the course of about 40 years. And so that scandal is now made public. You can read all about it. In fact, in previous shows, I have shared information about it. So now we turn our attention to Australia, where Prime Minister Julia Gillard has put no time limit on what will be the most wide-ranging inquiry that nation has done into child sex abuse in its history, one that will not be confined to the Catholic Church. Now, the reason they say not confined to the Catholic Church is because the Catholic Church is saying, why are you singling us out? Well, the Catholic Church is being singled out because all of the victims thus far have been victimized by the Roman Catholic Church. She announced the establishment of a royal commission into institutional responses, into instances and allegations of child abuse. And she said the inquiry would not target any one church because, by their constitution, they can't target a single institution, but would encompass all religious institutions. But what they're going to find and what they have found thus far fingers one institution, Roman Catholicism. Now, that's not to say the Roman Catholic Church is the only evil institution on earth. No, we found child abuse being covered up at Penn State University. We filed to find hundreds of cases of child abuse being covered up by the British Broadcasting Corporation, the BBC. And in worlds that are slimed with the religion of Islam, we find the authorities playing bachiba, which is they will go into a community, find the cutest young boys, and they will gang rape them. So pedophilia is not exclusive to Roman Catholicism. But in the West, where pedophilia is condemned, now in the world of Islam, it's not condemned. There is no condemnation against pedophilia in Islam. In fact, it is promoted because Muhammad himself was a pedophile. When he was 53, he had sex with a six-year-old girl. So in Islam, it's not condemned, so we have no influence over that. We can expose and condemn Islam for the practice, but we can't change Islam. And with socialist secular humanists in the BBC, we also have no influence because there is no moral code for socialist secular humanism. But we can influence what happens in the West because we do have moral codes that say that pedophilia is illegal. And so when Roman Catholics perpetrate them in the West, we should expose and condemn them for it.
And to be fair, before you can condemn Islam, people have to actually take the time to learn about it. Because if you don't actually take the time to investigate it, you're never going to know about bachiba.
Correct.
And
you're not going to know why it happens.
You're not going to know why it happens or
considered good.
Yeah.
Considered good. And the same thing is true with Roman Catholicism. You have to understand that the priestly order that is the hierarchy over Roman Catholicism is a complete perversion of Yah's plan. God does not want a hierarchy between us and him. No human institution. It's a personal relationship where we're individually invited to become members of his family. And the relationship then is father, son, father, daughter. There is no hierarchy involved. Moreover, the covenant is about a family relationship where men marry women, women marry men, become a husband and wife, become a mother and father to raise children. In Roman Catholicism, all of the hierarchy is unwed. It's a total abrogation, a disconnect from the covenant that Yahweh envisioned.
Well, it doesn't shock me that all religions probably have different stuff like that going on like this. And that's not shocking.
It's just that Roman Catholicism is the worst at it because they know it's wrong and do it anyway and then cover it up. While in Islam, their whole religion is so demonic, so perverted, they think it's good.
Yeah, I mean, well, I could argue that religion is wrong and perverted.
That's correct.
Not good.
Well, I would argue right along with you. Now, there have been too many revelations. This is a quote of adults who have averted their eyes from this evil, said the Australian Prime Minister. The evil of which she speaks is said by the mother of one victim to be endemic. It is endemic to the Roman Catholic Church. It is also endemic to Islam. It is also endemic to socialist secular humanism. That's why it occurred at Penn State. That's why it occurred at within the confines of the BBC. It's why the BBC allowed one of its, and its many participants of the BBC were guilty of this, but one, Jimmy Savile, committed hundreds of acts of pedophilia over decades, known but covered up by the hierarchy of the BBC. Daniel was an 11-year-old. This particular article reads, it's from CNN. He was an 11-year-old altar boy at St. Patrick's Church in Maitland in the Hunter Valley north of Sydney when the abuse began at the hands of Father James Patrick Fletcher, who died in prison after being found guilty of child abuse, including that of Daniel. There's so many things that are interesting here. First, the 11-year-old boy was named after Daniel, which is interesting in and of itself. It's called St. Patrick's Church. According to Yah, the veneration of dead people is an abomination. So if you refer to a saint and you you think that there are such things as saints, as dead people who are worthy of your veneration and communication, then you are lost. You are considered engaging something that God views as an abomination. There is no such thing as church in the whole of Yah's testimony. You won't even find the word church or any basis for the word church in the so-called Christian New Testament. In the Torah, Prophets, and Psalms, the assemblies that we are invited to participate in are called mikra in the singular, mikre in the plural. They're invitations to meet with God. In the Greek eyewitness accounts, it is called the ecclesia, which is the called out assembly. Church is a pagan term based upon Circe, the daughter of Helios, in the Teutonic religions of the Germanic peoples. So just in the cursory reading of these labels, you find all sorts of demonic influences. You even go to the hands of Father Patrick Fletcher. God, when he was represented in his corporeal manifestation, told us the same thing that he told us in the Torah, that he alone is our Father, that he is our Heavenly Father, and that no one should be referred to as Father by men other than by Yahweh himself. And so men who claim the title of Father are in direct conflict with God's instructions. And therefore, if you go to a Roman Catholic church and you refer to somebody as Father so-and-so, what you are doing is considered an abomination to God. Continuing with this article, the family was devout Catholics when Fletcher was assigned to the parish, and the Freeman family, who opened their home to him, invited this father, this Catholic priest, into their home. Soon after, the grooming began, and in time, the family said, so did the abuse. According to the court evidence, throughout Daniel's high school years, Fletcher forced him into violent oral and anal sex, often in open spaces and always under threat. Fletcher would tell Daniel their special time, in quotes, together should be kept secret, lest Fletcher hurt one of Daniel's brothers. The abuse ended when Daniel was 17. 7 years later, he went to the police. Secret. When you do things are wrong, and you know things are wrong, you do them in secret. You try to keep them secret. What did Cardinal Ratzinger, now Pope Benedict, do in response to these kind of egregious attacks on children? Tried to cover them up. Tried to keep them secret. Though he was later contrite, the archbishop of the diocese tipped off the abuser, moving him to another parish, according to the police investigation. So the archbishop of the diocese did what Ratzinger had ordered him to do. Just cover it up. He moved the abusive priest to another place so that their dirty secret wouldn't be found out. Our girls were assaulted, this is a quote, at school by their local Catholic priest, end quote. Anthony Foster told CNN, quote, they were 5 years old and up, raped multiple times over many years. It went on for year after year. We think about 5 years with Emma and Katie, probably about 3 or 4 years, end quote. When Emma was 14, parish priest Kevin O'Donnell, now deceased, was convicted of the sexual assault of 13 children. During his trial, testimony was offered that he had abused consistently from 1946 until he was brought before the courts. When Emma heard news of his conviction, she began to harm herself, the family says. We saw her with blood pouring out of her wrists, taking heroin to dull the pain. She was 26 when Emma committed suicide, killing herself. The pain of having been abused by a religious organization and them demeaning you, denying it, covering up, aiding and abetting, protecting the abuser while harming and insulting the abused is so traumatic, so difficult that thousands and thousands of victims of Roman Catholic pedophilia have committed suicide. I am Yada. This is Shattering Myths. We'll continue on with this story when our program returns after the commercial break. Examining the tragic evidence that surrounds Roman Catholic child abuse in Australia. We just concluded Emma's tale, which ended with Emma committing suicide because of not only the abuse that was hurled at her over the many years of being raped by a Roman Catholic priest, but the way that the Roman Catholic hierarchy responded by demeaning her and protecting the abuser.
Well, I was just going to comment on that because that's pretty atrocious. I mean, they basically forced this poor person to feel they had no way out, and then they killed themselves, and it was solely because of what they were doing.
Right, they murdered her.
They murdered her. That's basically it. That's what I was trying to say. They murdered her.
Absolutely. Katie's story is equally tragic. When she was 14, her parents found a suicide note that she had written along with her diary in which she had detailed how O'Donnell, Father O'Donnell, had abused her. The Fosters were alarmed when they saw their daughter had begun to binge drink. A year later, just before her 16th birthday, tragedy struck. She was at a friend's house, Foster told CNN. She was drunk, crossed the road, and was hit by a car. She had severe brain injuries. She has pre-accident memory, but she can't run her life. She has a five-minute window on life. Katie and Emma's foster abuser is buried in the Roman Catholic Church crypt in the Melbourne Cemetery. They killed her, too. A divisive figure, Cardinal Pell, defended himself and his church against claims last week of systematic cover-ups by the church hierarchy. He has to, or he will be excommunicated. As calls for a national inquiry grew louder in the wake of explosive claims by senior police officers that the church was complicit in the crimes by moving the offending priests and by destroying clerical evidence to stymie prosecutions, Cardinal Pell said that the Roman Catholic Church was being disproportionately targeted. So here's Cardinal Pell. He has orchestrated moving priests from one place to another so that they can continue to abuse children. He has destroyed evidence. He has shown, he has been complicit in creating the environment where priests can continue to abuse and where the abuse victims have no voice and they remain unprotected. And he cries out that we are being disproportionately targeted. Quote, "We have to answer up for what we have done," Cardinal Pell told his congregation on the weekend line. Quote, "But any suggestion that we're the only culprit or only community producing culprits is entirely misleading," he preached. No, just the majority, the overwhelming majority. Are Roman Catholic priests the only source of pedophilia? No. Are they the lion's share of pedophilic acts committed in the West, disproportionately responsible for pedophilic acts? Absolutely. Is there any other human institution that is systematically protecting the pedophiles? No. And that's really the issue here. Not only are Roman Catholics disproportionately prone to commit acts of pedophilia, not only do their officers commit acts of pedophilia, but that's the only human institution that is systematically covering up and protecting, as an institutional edict, sexual abusers at the expense of their victims. Others, of course, disagree with Cardinal Pell, the scumbag. This is a quote. He says, "This is really an inquiry into the Roman Catholic Church, into the cover-up," Foster told CNN. "It's all the revelations of abuse in the church that has brought this to a head. We know that there are other sexual abuse, but this has come about because of the rampant sexual abuse by the Roman Catholic clergy, he said, and he should have added, and because of their cover-up. For Pat Freeman and her son Daniel, the Royal Commission is most certainly about the sins of the Roman Catholic Church and what she sees as the lack of compassion shown to its victims. Quote, we went through the whole trial with no support from the church. They have no interest in supporting their victims. Quote, the priests supported Fletcher to see how he was, to pray with him. We were in the same courthouse and no one came near us. In other words, the priests supported the pedophile, the perpetrator, the abuser. No one associated with the Roman Catholic Church supported his victims. The church community was not encouraged to be mindful of the victims. Their prayers were for the priests, not for those that they had abused. That is reprehensible, the mother said. This has been Shattering Myths. We look forward to speaking about Yah's testimony when we rejoin.
Hi, everyone. I'm Pharmacist Ben, nutritional pharmacist and host of The Bright Side. The good news about nutrition and health. The good news that if you or someone you care about is on a prescription drug or has some kind of health challenge,